as was promised, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture of admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all reverence, perseverance, and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tyrannus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father, and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. In the preceding chapters, Paul has some interesting things to say about husbands and wives, and now, at the beginning of our present one, has some good advice for parents and their children, and the servants and their masters, all of which is still good advice today. Paul, of course, was writing to the members of Christ's Ecclesia. And in verses 1 and 4, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and abomination of the Lord." Children are fortunate when brought up in a God-fearing Christian home, whose parents also set a good example for them. As we read in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And in the end, both parent and child profited from this. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Paul continues in verse 5 through 9, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Most of what Paul says here applies also to believers in our day, whether they happen to be servants or workers, or the boss, whatsoever we do for anyone, we should do it as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. In other words, God will reward us for our good service, whether men do or not, or whether we have to do it or not. In either case, it is still good advice for everyone. And if we can learn to always take the attitude, we will find it much easier to always do the right thing. Moreover, it will enable us to rise above petty grievances and to always do our best regardless of what someone else says or does. We will never say to ourselves, for instance, I will just do this job the easiest way I can get by with. No one will know the difference anyway. Or that man never does anything for me, why should I do anything for him? Instead, we will say to ourselves, I am working for the Lord Jesus now and to please God rather than men. And I know that God will reward me abundantly according to everything I do. Whatsoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, said Jesus. In other words, always trying to do or give a little more than is required or expected of you. Why? Because, as Jesus said, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Give and it shall be given unto you. He said in Luke 6:38, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met, withal it shall be measured to you again. The world is full of people who do what they are told to do, or what they have to do. But the outstanding ones are those who always manage to do or give a little more. This also applies to spiritual things, as we can see from Luke 17:5-10, where we are told, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus approved of their desire for more faith, but pointed out that servants receive no extra reward. for doing what they are commanded to do. So likewise, ye, he said, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Evidently meaning that faith does not come from doing only what someone tells us, but requires some thinking of our own. And especially meditating on the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Paul wrote in Romans 10:17. And hearing by the Word of God, and no one else can believe for us. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Yet when we became followers of the Lord Jesus, we became involved in the greatest war of all time on His side. A universal spiritual war between the forces of good and evil, as old as the human race. So contrary to what some people might think, our weapons too must be spiritual, as Paul also went on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And in verses 10-17 of our chapter, Paul tells us in a very striking way that some of these spiritual weapons are and how spiritual weapons. In verses 10-17 of our chapter, Paul tells us in a very striking way what some of these spiritual weapons are and how to use them. He wrote finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now we have here one of those literary masterpieces from which the Apostle Paul is famous. Following his usual practice of explaining the spiritual in terms of the natural, he takes a common image of a Roman soldier fully equipped for battle and develops it into an unforgettable lesson for those fighting on the side of Christ for truth and righteousness. Stand therefore, he said, in verse 14, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What other quality in all the world can compare with this? Truth is as unchangeable as God is Himself. And righteousness enables a man to stand, because God will uphold him. Ye shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall make you free. Free from the deceitfulness of sin and the fear of the unknown. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13:8. And concerning the blessings of the kingdom age, we read in Psalms 85, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Righteousness and truth are the only way to peace. And to make sure we walk in the way of peace, it is necessary for us, as Paul says in verse 15, to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace, how the world longs for peace. But instead of peace, there seems to be only trouble and more trouble. And the reason, of course, is that men in general will neither believe the truth nor walk in the way of the righteousness, which alone can bring peace. On the other hand, we read in Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, the God reigneth, thy God reigneth. These things have I spoken unto you, Jesus told his disciples, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, as Paul says, we too can hope to overcome. But while the armor of God includes more, above all, says Paul in verse 16, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so, in addition to a knowledge of the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the inner peace that we find in Christ, we need that shield of faith to repel the fiery darts of the enemy. Those spiteful and deceitful remarks sometimes aimed at us and calculated to injure us in one way or another, or to raise doubt in our mind and lead us astray if possible. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, wrote James. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of Gehenna. Faith in God will also shield us from the many other onsets of evil in one form or another that might be summed up as the trial of life that sooner or later comes to all of us. Not that it will prevent us from having them, but to enable us to overcome them. This is victory that overcometh the world, wrote John. Even our faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Paul says in verse 17. The helmet of salvation that we are to put on is our hope of salvation, as we will see from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul wrote, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Our hope of salvation gives us something worthwhile to look forward to, and thus enables us to endure until the victory is won. It more than makes up for some other things we may not have. It is the hope set before us, referred to in Hebrews 6:18-19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which entereth into that within the veil. But we want to note that most of the various items of the armor of God we have so far considered are more or less of a defensive nature, and that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is our only offensive weapon, although it may of course also be used for defense. For since our warfare is not carnal, and we wrestle not against the flesh of blood, as Paul says, the use of a literal sword is forbidden to us, for all they that taketh the sword, Jesus said, shall perish with the sword. But the sword of the Spirit is a spiritual weapon, even as our warfare is spiritual. Moreover, as we read in Hebrews 4:12, the words of God is quick or living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirits, and the joint of the marrow, and is discerned of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The word of God is therefore a most effective weapon against all the power of the darkness of this world, and when used in connection with the rest of the our spiritual armor, as advised by Paul, we need fear no enemy. One more thing is necessary. However, we must remain on our guard and in constant touch with our Father in heaven, praying always, as Paul says in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all reverence. Moreover, we should not only pray for ourselves, but for all saints, sometimes even for our enemies. Paul also asks for prayer for himself, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul, of course, has long since fallen asleep, but evidently he believed that such prayer would help, or he would not have requested them. So perhaps we should pray more for the speakers and teachers, the effectual servant prayer, sovereign prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James says. And so we come to the end of this wonderful letter of Paul to the Ephesians, written to believers of his time, but evidently intended for all believers, including us today. And how could we conclude our remarks between better than with Paul's own words in the last two verses? Peace be to the brothers in love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love and Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. We'll have a memorial hymn. Thank you. Hymn 153. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our father trusted in thee. Thy trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shout out the lips, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from thy womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength has thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horn of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seeds of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seeds of Israel. For he hath not despised nor adored the afflictions of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he crieth unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear me. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that goeth down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness upon his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. We'll read the account from 1 Corinthians. Starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We'll stand and ask Brother Adam to give thanks for the bread.
Almighty and eternal Father in heaven, we come before you this time thank you for the blessing that you've given us. We should come together. The means appointed by you, by your Son, to remember the great sacrifice that he made. At this time, in this broken bread, we see the symbol of his flesh, completely submitted to your will, never once transgressing in your sight. We pray now that as we take these things, that we might assimilate them into ourselves, and that we might go forth from here with renewed strength to overcome the trials and temptations that beset us, that we might manifest you and glorify you, even as he did perfectly. We ask all these things in his name. Pray that his return may be soon, and that we might have a place to serve you in his kingdom.
We'll stand and ask Brother Darrell to give thanks for the cup.
We ask you to hear our prayer and remember us and save us.
That concludes our memorial service. We'll turn it back over to Brother Larry.